Do you hate the way you look on video? I know I do. I can't stand watching myself. I always notice how my face contorts when I'm speaking or the bags under my tired eyes. Either way, it's definitely not my favorite thing to do. But guess what? I show up and I do it because I have discovered that people feel a deeper connection to you when you're not face to face if you show up on video in an authentic and meaningful way. So I've invited David Fu to the podcast, who's going to share with us his secrets on how to use video for fundraising and relationship building. I'm Cindy Wagman, and I'm your host of the Small Nonprofit Podcast, where we bring you practical, down-to-earth advice on how to get more done for your small nonprofit. You are going to change the world, and we are going to help. So without further ado, it's such a pleasure. Welcome David to the podcast, who is the co-owner of Nonprofit Video Comms, where he breaks it all down and tells you exactly how you can incorporate video to build deeper, more meaningful relationships and raise more money. David, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Cindy. Thanks for having me.
It's such a pleasure to have you here because we are talking about something I love and I feel is very underused in our sector, which is video. But before we dive into all the things, I want you to bust some myths about what, I mean, we see organizations, we see especially large organizations use like brilliant video marketing campaigns, or I've been to galas where they have like these beautiful, compelling videos, and then they want you to, you know, they ask for a donation at the end. And I think that's where people's heads go as soon as we say like nonprofit video. But that's not what we're talking about today. So tell us a little bit about like why that's not the be all and end all of video.
Myth busting. I'll try to come up with a couple here. Well, first of all, I think you're right. The first thing we go to is sort of kind of a cinematic pull at the heartstrings, ask kind of video, which are, I have nothing against, you know, they're standard, they're well done, and we know that they work. But one thing that I think there's kind of a misconception or a bit of a gap is that the easier that video, the more accessible that it becomes, you know, it's easier to make them now, it's easier to hire for them, the more people seem to be going for this style of video. It's as though we know that they worked at some point and we know they're popular, so now we can make them, but actually, often now it's out of context. There's just so many other uses and so many other ways and so many other reasons than just this one typical sort of hyper emotional cinematic video. Yes. Another myth might be some standard things. I think actually, okay, here's a big one. Video, if you ask, in most of my conversations, it seems that the first thing that people's minds go to is social media. Video equals social media, which it does, obviously. But I think a lot of people are missing all these other opportunities, like personal video messaging, website, more sort of more rich and more thorough use of video on websites, sort of portal or internal communications videos. There's so much more power right now with video in sort of more functional and more communication ways than just like social media awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I love like the first example you talked about is like all about budget. So even though you mentioned things are coming down in budget, we associate that with big price tags and small organizations, like we can't afford video. Mm. And then on the other hand, there's like the Facebook, which, you know, there's different kinds, right? Like there's, or not Facebook, social media, obviously, like it could be TikTok, it could be Instagram Lives, but we associate those with sort of the opposite. And there's such this richness of in between. And that's where I really want us to focus our conversation on today, because those are the missed opportunities that don't necessarily cost anything, or maybe like a small software fee, but have so much unused potential and untapped potential for organizations, small organizations that, And you listed a number of different ways, you know, website, personal, internal comms. And so we can talk a little bit about all of those things, because I think it's so, there's so much there. But I definitely want to start with some of the more uncommon ways that you've seen. Let's start with fundraising, because obviously everyone wants money. And we do at the Good Partnership, that's what we do. So it's always top of my mind. What are some creative ways you've seen organizations, or you've helped organizations use video to raise money or to steward donors?
Well, I have a little bit of experience in what do you call it? Like corporate. So nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we can borrow from that world is talking about the sales journey, which I know in the nonprofit world is the donor journey. And one of the great for me very interesting super functional types of videos would be just making a simple video for every part of the journey. So when you have sort of like the cold awareness discovery part, then you have the learn more part, and then you have the how does it work? Who is it for? What do I get out of this? Walk me through the process of donating. Is it secure? Is it private? Is it easy? Is it multi-step? Do I get a receipt? There's a video for every single thing I just listed. And each video doesn't all have to appear on the website. Some of it can be after you've signed up for something. Some of it can be on a specific landing page. Some of it can be on a particular position on the page as you scroll up and down. Really, it's another way to put it would be video being sort of the next best thing to a human guide, or like a customer service person or a receptionist, to be there throughout your journey.
Yeah. Awesome. So with those, again, like I feel like a lot of us are going to picture something like those explainer videos, you know, the animated ones with like either like the little cartoons or the graphics that show how things work, or again, high production value. But in my experience, most of the time when we do videos like that, they're just like super, you know, sitting in my home office, straight to camera. What should people think about as we say, okay, that's a great idea. How do I make it happen? What are the, because I feel like this is a conversation that we need to include some of the technical know-hows, because it is so outside of people's comfort zone. So let's say like, fantastic. I'm going to create, we have a donation page on our website. We have a thank you email that goes out to people. You know, we have a landing page after they make a donation. I want to use that. How do I go from this idea into actually making it happen?
Yes. This is one of my favorite things to preach. I believe deeply, especially with technology now, you have everything you need. You've got a smartphone, which is actually better filming technology than a lot of the cameras from, say, the film sets of the 80s and 90s. You have a computer, which is more powerful than an editing suite in Hollywood in the 70s. You have Zoom. So really, the only thing you need to know about getting started is literally to fire up that smartphone and hit record and point it at your face. Now, the other thing to ask as you're getting started is what is the most useful thing for my viewer? And you're right, Cindy. People will often, before even asking that question, go, well, wouldn't it be cool to use animations? Wouldn't it be cool to use a whiteboard? Wouldn't it be cool to use stock footage? But from the viewer's standpoint, okay, me, David, I'm about to give you $50. I just need to you to answer one or two more questions. Imagine the executive director of the organization shows up in a homemade video, handheld, and goes, you're at the final step. We appreciate that you've gotten this far. We've made it as easy as possible for you by clicking here, by clicking there. And within one day, you should receive your donation receipt. It's like, I personally, and sort of kind of from a psychology perspective, I can't imagine anything better than feeling like somebody talked to me with their face.
Yes, I agree. And in fact, like the funny thing is when we were preparing for this conversation, we're recording this on Zoom, as I do all of our podcasts. And while we don't use the video, I find it so helpful as we're recording because I can see you. I see that you're nodding and smiling and all those great things. Like video is so valuable to connect through time and space. And it really is, you know, seeing that person, having them look kind of in the camera's eye, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I totally, totally agree.
Can I add to the time and space thing?
Yeah.
So I love that topic, the time and space thing. Video comes from a time where it was really about entertainment. And it later kind of grew into like advertising, maybe training, publishing, this and that, but it was really kind of a presenter to the people. But now with video, it's really about what you're talking about, which is being person to person as much as possible without being there in person. And I think, Cindy, you probably know this, but the majority of what we communicate comes from our body language. Mm-hmm. So imagine you happen to have a donation landing page that's dry as hell. You sound like a robot.
Let's hope you don't have that. But if you do, yeah.
They exist, and that's fair.
Oh, I know. I've seen them.
But and maybe you're a robotics nonprofit. But if you add that really deeply warm, personal, flawed, imperfect person, you've just evened that whole landing page out.
Yeah. I think that's such a great distinction between the idea of like presenting or pushing information versus connecting and having a dialogue, which is definitely how me and my team here use video. It's almost always like really low key and low budget. But that's what people connect with. So I love that. And we've talked about then that donor journey and or any onboarding type journey, right? It could be with your clients. I mean, God knows, can you imagine that warmth if you connect with clients or if you have a mentorship program or volunteers, when they engage with you, they see someone's face instead of all the automated stuff. Like it's so valuable. I want to talk, those are all pre-recorded opportunities. Like I record this, it sits on YouTube or on our website and people engage with it. There's also sort of like in the moment personalized videos, which are actually my favorite. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about ways that organizations can go a little bit above and beyond that, like, here's a generic video. It's still way better than just copy on a page or anything like that. But now actually we're connecting one-on-one with someone by doing things like using their name in the video, creating them in real time. So what are some opportunities there?
Before I continue, listeners right now of the podcast, you have to know that Cindy, when we met and we started corresponding and talking about the podcast, she sends these videos, that the videos that we're talking about, and they are, I'm telling you, she is an example. She's a model.
Thank you.
It really does warm up the correspondence. It's just super helpful to know that before I meet Cindy in person, she's actually very warm.
This is
very helpful for someone who's generally nervous mm-hmm. about meeting someone for the first time.
Yes.
So let's talk more about that. You said the more interactive or personal ways of mm-hmm. doing things. So I like to think of personal video messaging as just kind of the next level of voicemail.
Mm.
So we're all used to texting now. We're used to DMs. We're used to emails. There's kind of for me, there's a nostalgia about voicemails, about hearing. I mean, it sounds strange, but, you know, maybe the doctor will call and say, this is a message for David. And with video messaging now, for anyone who's never tried it, like on, there are apps now, I think, maybe Cindy knows better. I think LinkedIn, you can do it. You can just hit record in your personal messages and point it at your face and be like, hey, it was great to meet you. Let's follow
That's
up
so cool.
in a week.
I didn't know LinkedIn does that. That's awesome.
And there's sort of software to do it kind of more professionally, like Loom, Soapbox, Wistia. And the idea is that you're just sending an email or a text message with a video. And so let me think here. So for example, when I'm onboarding clients or sending out a proposal, I will send it with myself talking on a video, addressing them by name, and just quickly walking them through the 2 or 3 page proposal.
Yeah.
Two minutes max.
Yeah. It's like everything you would put in an email, except you're saying it. And it's probably faster to do because it's so much easier for most people to just talk than mm-hmm. it is to type. We use Loom a lot. That's what we use for sort of those personal videos. But you gave a number of examples. And I just want to be, again, for anyone who hasn't used these before, it literally is like a browser extension or an app you can download on your computer. They're very inexpensive. If not, most have a free version. And you just like hit the button that says record. And at least with Loom, it saves it automatically to the cloud. Before, I would like record things and then upload it onto YouTube and then send that link. Whereas this, it's all in one step and it's there. And I just link it, put that link in the email. I'm like, great question. I created a video for you. You can watch it here. That's it. And people love it. And it's easier for me. I enjoy it more.
Yeah. The part where you said people love it. This has by far been my favorite result of my work, is when somebody goes, there's two ways that they do it when they respond. They go, whoa, I've never had someone send me a video like that. That was awesome.
Hmm.
And the second way that they do it was go, David, I feel like I really got to know you. Or thanks for that. I'm sending it to my team so that they can watch. And so what's happened now is that you've injected your humanness into the process and really kind of just like shook things up. You kind of woke people up and got them to kind of sharpen their attention on you. And the best part when they share it with their team is that you've been able to interact as a human to the team without even being there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it starts to get really fascinating to me. It's like the analogy would be cloning yourself.
Yeah. We did that with a client. There was a company that made a employee-driven donation. And so we recorded just a quick little video, again, like no editing or anything like that, just a thank you. But that way they could share with all their employees who participated in the fundraising campaign. And we could get stewardship with those people who drove the donation instead of just, you know, the donations officer or person at the company who sends us a check, which is what most people do. Like, you want to create that shareable content and reach all those people. That's such a good insight. I want to talk. So the one thing I just want to add, because I think it's a great one, is we use video a lot to say thank you as well. That is something we automate-ish. So we use Bonjoro or Vidyard, depending on the client. And we, when someone makes a donation, every time a donation comes in, it adds a task in the video tool for us to send just a personalized thank you. So it's similar to what we talked about with Loom or some of those other platforms. But this one, there's a whole automation process so that it becomes really easy to manage, because I think that that's also important for everyone. It's not like answering an email or something like that. It's every time a donation comes in, take 30 seconds to say thank you by video. And that's worked really well for us too.
Can I add? So with the work we do, I'm not entirely experienced with automation and with embedding into CRMs and things like that. I find it all fascinating. Cindy, could you share with me and anyone listening the return on that kind of mix of humanness and automation? Like, what kind of factors have a return?
Yeah. So we're still in the phase where we haven't seen this through a year. So I don't know year over year the return, but we get really positive feedback. And so people reply, which I think is a great measure of, you know, someone replying to a thank you, which is typically automated. So I always love that if you can automate 80 or 90% of things and then customize and deeply personalize that remaining 10 to 20%, you're going to create a really powerful engagement journey for whatever this is. So we do this with donations. So if someone makes a donation with our clients, not all clients use video, but we really encourage it. what will happen is they will make the donation. They will get a automated thank you letter and donation receipt, which is still personalized, right? It still has those customizable fields. And so it has their name, and we try to make the letter obviously super casual and connected. But then when that donation happens, there's an automation, and depending on your technology, it can be built in, or you can use something like Zapier, where the little automation is sent and it sends a notification to Vidyard or Bonjoro for you to create a video, and that gets sent to the donor that way. And we see just really high open rates, great engagement. People like reply and like, oh my goodness, that's so lovely. We do this in our marketing as well when we have webinars and people register. So it's one of the things that is not so pervasive that like it still really surprises people, and they're like, wow, that really, you said something about like kind of like just sort of surprise, I don't know the like word, the term, but you shake them up, like you kind of just like, whoa, I'm paying attention. And so that's what we find really valuable for people. And as you said before, they start to feel like they know the people behind the organization, right? They know and they get to understand who's signing that appeal letter, who's signing off on that thank you letter. And so everything becomes more personal that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever my buying behavior is probably not the same as everyone's, but before I attend an event, before I go to see a practitioner or a professional, before I go to a job interview, I'm going to snoop around for where this place is, who's going to handle what. And I think there's a lot of power in just showing yourself.
Yeah.
It's not about filmmaking or entertainment. It's just about accommodation.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's that connection that just doesn't happen through any other medium unless you're face-to-face, which you can't be all the time, right? And we definitely know that over the last year and a half.
Yes.
Are there any other great, let's take a minute and talk about internal communications, because I also think that that's a great one. I definitely know that I'm going to give an example of how we use it, especially sometimes with our contractors, because these days everyone has Zoom fatigue, right? Everyone is just exhausted from being online all the time, but I feel like people are using it more to have meetings where they would otherwise send emails or anything like that. And so we've oftentimes, instead of a traditional email, but also instead of a Zoom meeting, I just send video instructions. I'm like, here's what I would like for you to do. Here's how you can do it. Let me know if you have any questions and send that off. So still email, you're not wasting all the time on Zoom, but it's more explanatory. There's more information. And so it's really easy for people to follow. So that's how we use it internally. But I'd love to hear from you about other examples or ways that we can think about embedding that into our workplace culture a little bit more.
Yeah, of course. Well, your example is, I think you nailed it. What you're talking about is this word going around lately, which is asynchronous. Which is, yes, of course, people had to adopt Zoom. And yes, now people are booking more meetings than they should, in general, it seems. But also, thirdly, people seem to let go of Zoom. I think there might be some sort of understood, unspoken joy or need from seeing faces.
Mm-hmm.
So you took it a step further, and which I think is a great lesson for other people, is that you can have all of that benefit at your own convenience.
Mm.
So instead of locking everybody into a meeting or presuming they even want a meeting or have time for a meeting, you can still get your word out there. You can still get your training out there. And giving your whole body language and your face and your voice, but at their convenience. Mm. So we're talking about accommodation again.
Yeah.
And, an example is nonprofit onboarding. You hear about this all the time. The resources and the time spent on turnover, inconsistent onboarding. So that is different volunteers and different staff have understood processes differently.
Yes.
We have digital volunteerism now, huge thing. So if you could do training, just record yourself over Zoom, walking through a PowerPoint by yourself alone. That's one recording that'll go out to many, and they will all have maybe a higher accuracy of perceiving the information. Because we know that if we send 100-page PDFs, everyone's going to come back like a game of telephone with a different different understanding.
Yeah.
But maybe you can increase it even just a bit if you use your face or hand movements. Mm. And the other thing is, what was I talking about? There was the training. And oh yeah, digital volunteerism. If you want to talk about return on time, well, if you're doing the work anyway on a computer, just screen record it. You don't even have to use your face. You can use your voice, record it. There's still a touch of humanity in that because we can see your mouse cursor move around.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you say something like, oh, go across the screen and click here, that mouse cursor moves. And there's just, it's not overly technical. There's still a touch of humanity there. So now we're talking about leveraging and saving time.
Yeah. I want to give one more example, and then I want to wrap up with talking a little bit about accessibility, because I think that's important as well. But before I do, one of the things when I have new staff, they're learning our style and all that kind of stuff. So when I edit their work, I actually record myself doing the edits, and I talk about why I'm making those edits so that they can understand that it's not just like about me crossing something out or replacing a word, that there's like the thought process behind that so that they can learn and then start to make changes. So I love that. That's one of my, you can tell I use video a lot.
I'm taking notes actually. That's awesome.
Yeah. Cause it's just like, and I will talk to people and sometimes I'm sure I sound totally ridiculous. I'll even laugh at myself sometimes when I'm doing it, but I'll be like, hey, okay, so I'm changing this to this because, here's why I don't like that word, or here's, you know, my thoughts around this. And I just find that they actually, appreciate the instruction or the opportunity to learn and understand why those things are happening. So that's just one more example. I do want to wrap up because we're running out of time, and accessibility is so important. It's something that we're continually working towards. Definitely not perfect, but I think that there are some easy ways to make your videos more accessible. And I'd love to hear from you what you've found with these.
Oh, the first few things that come to mind is the first question is if and you should, but if you know your audience very well, and for every nonprofit, that audience is different. The first question you should ask if you need video at all, because that could actually be a barrier.
Mm.
If you serve a rural community with bad internet, stay away from video. If you serve a community that is tends to not have a lot of technology or is literate in sort of online streaming video, avoid it. Don't add barriers. So that's the first thing of accessibility. The second thing would be get to know the basics. All you have to do is Google video accessibility. And right now I'm talking to people who've never even thought of this.
Mm.
You will quickly find results to get the basics, which is subtitles or captions. They're different, but I'll leave it to you to find out. Colorblind friendly. So keep your videos high contrast. There's actually a tool to tell you which color combinations are best.
Yeah.
Stay away from flickering and fast edits. These can induce seizure for people who are prone. Whether it plays nice on a website.
Mm.
YouTube tends to take care of that stuff for you. But if you plan on posting it to your website, you have to talk to your website designer about how that shows up on the other person's end. And the third thing is, your state or province or country might have laws about accessibility, and a few of them seem to have updated and included recommendations for video.
Mm.
That's an excellent, excellent place to look and make sure that you're in line with accessibility laws and recommendations, especially if you're the kind of organization who makes those claims publicly.
Yeah.
And I know. Speech.
There you go. I love it. And, you know, technology is evolving. Like this past year, a tool called Rev now integrates with Zoom, so you can have live closed captioning. It's not 100% perfect, but it helps. Or we use something when we do, for some of our videos, we use a tool to edit called Descript or Descript. I'm not sure. Shout out to Brock Warner, who introduced me to that. But it will automatically transcribe your video. You can edit the transcription. You can actually edit the video with the transcription at the same time. So you can cut out words or ums and ahs, and it will automatically take that transcription into closed cap, like into captions. So there's some really cool stuff out there, definitely way more affordable and obviously, probably a priority as we start to diversify our ways of communication. So yeah, those are my favorites.
The most free version of transcribing your videos would be upload your video to YouTube.
Mm.
Give it a half a day. YouTube will generate them for you. Then you can go in and edit any mistakes. But that seems to be the freest version. Otherwise, yeah, I'm with you. Rev, Descript, or Descript.
Yeah.
I'm a personal big fan of Trint. I'm a longtime user. I actually think they're the most accurate. If you want to save time on correcting mistakes, I think Trint has the highest accuracy rate for automatic transcription.
Awesome. And yeah, that YouTube one is a great tip, especially the let it generate, but edit, because it's never accurate. And I'm going to look up Trint.
Check. Yeah. You have to check. It'll make mistakes and it will make you look bad.
Yeah. Yeah. David, that's amazing. I really hope that our listeners go out and start to incorporate video more into what they're doing, because there's, you know, the way we've talked about it, there's so few barriers to making this something that will help you do your job better. So thank you. Where can our listeners learn more about you and your work?
The best single place to come find out more about me. Well, the first thing you should do is learn my last name. It's David Phu, Phu. Look me up on LinkedIn. My picture has a green circle around it. That is where I do everything. You will find free information, tips, resources, newsletter, video examples, all of it. LinkedIn, David Phu, Phu.
Perfect. And we'll link that in the show notes. So thank you, David, for being part of this conversation. And of course, thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. I can't wait to see you next week. Have a good one. Well, folks, that's it for today's episode of The Small Nonprofit. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and this show is brought to you by The Good Partnership. As a reminder, if you want more resources around raising more money for your small nonprofit, visit thegoodpartnership.com and download our free fundraising strategy guide. I'll see you next week.